Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, why don't you on your sheet there? We've been talking about being led by the Spirit of God. Thought I was wrapping that up. I mean, we wrapped up a certain part of it, and I believe we are wrapping it up. Unless the Lord leads, we'll be on to something else here in a couple weeks. But some things I wanted to say specifically today that have to do with being led and specifically where God leads us. Look on your sheet. We won't turn there for the sake of time. Romans 8, 14 and through 16. This has been our text that we've been talking about. And I just encourage you, if you miss some of the messages, go back and listen to them in this series. If you're busy, if you're making decisions, go back and listen to these messages. That's why we're going over these things. This will help in making decisions and following the Spirit of God. Romans 8, 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." So verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." So we've gone over this. We are led by the Spirit of God as sons and daughters of God. Amen? Amen. Do you believe it? Yes. Do you believe God has a plan for each of us? Yes. Do you believe He talks to us about that plan? Yes. We've talked about how He talks to us about it, how we get across. We've talked about, you know, being led by the inward witness, by following peace. Number one way He's going to lead us is by the inward witness and following peace. You have a witness that we talked about last week. Seems good. It seems good to go this way. This way seems good. There's a glow there. We talked about praying in other tongues as it relates to this. Very important, because we can pray out mysteries. When you're praying in other tongues, you're yielding yourself to your spirit. You got to shut off your mind anyway, because your mind says, this is stupid, this is foolish, you're making it up. So just to pray in tongues, you need to shut that off and go, no, I'm going to yield to my spirit right now. And in doing that, you're increasing the sensitivity of yourself to your spirit. And in doing that, it's easier to discern his direction, to pick up what he's telling you to do, to get quiet, get your mind quiet. Sometimes our minds are the problem. They just race in a million different directions. And we just need to shut it off and just get to where we can hear what God's saying. We talked about that. We talked about obedience, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. It's related to that. But we said that we are led by him. So if he has a plan for us, and he has a way of getting that plan over to us, then we need to do what he told us to do and be in the place that he told us to be. So we could know that he has a plan, and we can know how to hear from him, and we could even pick up on what that plan is. Now there's another step. Are we going to do it? You may think that's just a foregone conclusion. No, it's not. It's not. I said it's not. For the body of Christ, there are many people that will not go and do what God told them to do, even if they've heard it. They don't want to do that. They want to go do something else. Every one of us has flesh. Your flesh doesn't want to follow God. Your flesh wants to do what it wants to do. It wants to go where it wants to go. And so we have a choice. We have a choice to honor him and to do what he told us to do or not. Let's turn over to 1 Kings. First Kings 17. You go back, First Kings is like a fourth of the way through, at least in my Bible. My Bible doesn't have a lot of fluff in it, so it's about a fourth of the way through your Bible in the Old Testament. 1 Kings 17. Everybody there? First Kings 17, verse 1. It says, "And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab," Ahab was a king, and he was an evil king. He just led the Israelites in all kinds of nonsense. I mean, just right against God. But Elijah went to say to him while he's so... So you got to look. See, God clearly laid out... If you go look at Deuteronomy and other places, God clearly laid out. He said, if you obey me, if you do what I tell you to do, Israel, this and this and this and all these blessings are going to come upon you. But if you don't walk in my ways, if you do what you know not to do, it's not going to go well for you. And that's exactly where Israel is. Things are going bad for them. Now they're in drought. How many of you know if you're in drought, especially in these days, if you can't get food... That means, if you can't get water, that means you can't get food. That means your livestock can't drink. They can't survive. It doesn't matter how much gold you have. Doesn't matter how big your palace is. If you don't have water, it isn't too long before it's over, right? You have to have water. Well, they get into a drought here. It says, as the Lord, this is Elijah saying to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it shall be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So there's going to be a drought. And God has very specific instructions for Elijah. He says, go to the brook, this specific brook, and he said, I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. Now, God had a plan to take care of Elijah. He told him what it was. He told him, you go to this brook. And he was very specific. He said, the brook Cherith. And he said, I've commanded the ravens to feed you where?
There.
There. Do you realize this is the way? When we live our lives, when God tells us to go somewhere and he's specific about it, that you don't have the choice to go 15 other places? If Elijah would have said, oh, I get it, I'm supposed to be by a brook. I know a brook right over here. Different from the one God said, but he said brook, that one, but I'm sure he meant any brook. I'm not going to go to that one. I'm going to go here to this brook because it's closer, because I like the view. This is the one I think I'll go to. Where were they commanded to be? So if Elijah went to this other brook, are the ravens there? Is this too simple? If God told us to go to a specific place, he did not mean... See, so many of the church body is saying, well, I can go anywhere. And God will be there, and he'll bless me. He'll bless you as far as he can bless you. Yes. Is God mad at us? He's displeased. Don't get the two crossed. People get this out. Well, God just loves you, honey. It doesn't matter what you do. No, he loves you. Just like if you have children, you know you love them. But if they don't do what they're supposed to do, does that mean you stop loving them? That means, but does it displease you? Yes. Would you be more pleased if they do what they're supposed to do? Come on. Yes, you would. If your children, you ask them to clean their rooms, to wash their hands, be ready for dinner, come downstairs at a certain time, and they decide, I don't want to do that. In fact, you know, I know mom said clean the room, but I think I'll do that tomorrow. Wash my hands, nah, not, don't really want to do that. And she said to be here at this time, but I think, you know, any time in the half hour is okay. Now, does that please you when you go and you go to look at the room and the room is not taken care of? Does that please you? No. Do you say, forget it, I'm disowning you? I didn't say you didn't think about it sometimes. But do you do that? That's it. It's the last time. You're out of here. No. Do you still love them? Yes, you do. Even if they're frustrating you, do you still love them? Yes, you love them. That's part of the reason you want them to do what you're telling them to do, because you know it's not just for your benefit. You know, come on, I mean, sometimes, yeah, we don't do everything perfect, but if we're doing what we know we ought to do, then we're telling him it not just for our benefit, for the benefit of the family, and for their benefit. If they learn discipline, it's going to help them, right? But we're not like, hey, it doesn't matter what you do. I love you. I always love you. Yeah, that's true. But to say that things don't displease us, that's not true. It's the same thing with God. But people twist this to where, oh, it doesn't matter where we go. It doesn't matter what we do. God is just going to be there for us. True. But the implication is that everything will be just the same as if I was doing what he told me to do. That's not true. It doesn't matter, you know, I'm just doing the best I can. Well, that's most of the time an excuse to not do what God told us to do. Because, you know, for whatever reason, instead of relying on his grace, his strength, to say, God, I don't know how to do this, but I'm going to, at your word, I'll do it. It's easier to say, I just can't. It's too hard. I just can't do it. Trying, it's just not me. That's a lie. I said it's a lie. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Is that true or not? Is that just true when we're in church and we're singing a bunch of songs and we're all excited? Or is it true when your back's up against the wall and you don't know how you're going to get through? Is it true then, even if we don't feel like it's true? Yes, it's true. And do you believe God has a good plan for us? Yeah. So really, this is really, 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 really simple in principle. Everything we're talking about. I mean, you could explain this to a 3-year-old and they could quote it back to you. God's good. He has a good plan for me. He wants good, you could say it, he wants good things for me. So listen to him and do what he says. Is that complicated? How is it that it gets so complicated in this life? Starts getting all jumbled up. People say, well, that's complicated. You just don't understand. Most of the time what that means is there's been things that, errors that have been made, mistakes that have been made, fine, but God has a way out of every one of them. Did you hear me? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Everyone, do you think he could turn anything around? Yes, he could. I have it on our sheet. All things are possible to him who believes. All things. are possible to him that believes. Believes what? Believes what God has told us in his word and where he told us to go and what he told us to do. Is it that simple? Don't let this be too simple. I believe we're doing, at the leading of the Lord, what we ought to do this morning. I believe we're hitting what we should hit this morning. And some of us have made it too complicated in life, saying, well, I just don't know. I don't know. I don't, should I do this or that? I mean, what we're really saying a lot of times is that if I do what God told me to do, I'm not sure what's really going to happen. And so I got to think about it, and that complicates stuff. And so it's complicated. If we're honest. Because if we have it clear, God's saying, do this over here, the enemy will come and our flesh will come and say, you don't want to do that. You crazy? If you do that, this is going to happen and this and this and this. And really, all God said is, go there. Go do that. But we want to say all these reasons why we don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. As you walk your plan out with God, there's going to be temptation for you to get out of that plan. Even if you know it's him, and you take the steps to go there and to do what he told you to do, number one, you're going to be challenged to not take the steps. To have a million reasons why you can't do what he told you to do. Elijah could have said, why? Why go by a brook? He could have had any reason why he's not going to obey God. But you notice he didn't do that. He went there. Look at the word. Verse 3 says, get away from here. Leave here. Get away from here, where you're at. And turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Verse 5. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He did it. He obeyed. He went and did what he was supposed to do. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Stop right there. That's God's provision. If God tells us to do something, then everything we need will be at that place where he told us to go. He's already taken care of all the details. He's taken care of what needs to be taken care of. But go back and put yourself in Elijah's place. You say, well, that's Elijah. I mean, of course this is going to happen. But there's a reason why Elijah was Elijah. Because he did exactly what we're reading about. God told him to do something, and he did it. And did he have any assurance, other than his trust in the Lord, that there were going to be ravens coming morning and night bringing him food? In the natural. Is there any assurance of that? No. Let me ask you. Do birds bring you food on a daily basis normally? Let me tell you something right here. This book is filled with things just like this. This is impossible by people that are just thinking naturally. This can't happen. You know, people get into some, they say, well, they'll talk about certain things in the Bible. I just don't know if I can accept that or that. Miracles are all through the Bible. You have to reject the supernatural. People don't believe the flood existed. Well, I just don't know about the flood. Well, then what about, you know, all the other things like this? There's an axe head that floated in a different place. That doesn't happen. That defies the laws of physics. And people will. They'll come up, well, if it's this or this, then it could float. Okay, then what is the natural explanation for a bunch of birds coming and feeding a person night and day? In famine. It's not raining. These birds probably don't just have tons and stuff, you know, overflow. No, don't ever. You either accept what the Bible says or not. Because there's always going to be people that are saying, well, what about this and what about this? And I'll just don't believe this because, and they'll give explanations because of it. I believe it happened just like it says right there. I believe God told him, I'm going to send the ravens to feed you, and that's exactly what happened. A miracle of God. You believe that? So when God tells us to do something, we have to decide, are we going to obey him? And the thing I want to get over to you this morning is that if he tells us to do something, that's the best possible place, and the best thing that we could do is be right there. And the enemy will try to get you talked out of it. He'll try to say, try to get you to be anywhere but in that place. He'll try to talk you out of it and say, I'd rather be anywhere but here, which is the there. If you go to the there, then it becomes the here. And you're in the here, now the devil wants to say, tell you, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be in this place. I wish I were someplace else. I wish I were called to do what so-and-so was called to do. I wish I had their call, their life. What they're doing looks so easy. Don't ever fall into that trap. What you are called to do is going to push you, is going to butt you up against your inability, against your weaknesses, and it's going to allow you to grow in faith and trust God. You can count on it. It's not easy to stay in that there because the enemy will try to rip you out. Your flesh doesn't want to do it. It wants to say, I don't care. Has anybody ever heard something like this? I don't care. I just want to get out of here. I want to quit. I don't want to do this. I want to go there. I want to go there, anywhere but here. Has anybody ever experienced anything like that? Why is that? It's because the enemy's the same everywhere. He wants you to think that where God puts you is the problem and not the fact that you're bumping up against challenges that are going, you're going to either go through them, you're going to trust God, or you're going to back off. But he's trying to get you to believe the problem is that you're doing what God told you to do. That's the problem. As if people that aren't doing what God told them to do don't have any problems. Did you hear me? But this is the way it'll sound. If I wouldn't have obeyed God. God's the one that told me to come, and I'm here, and I don't know why I'm here, and I don't know why these problems are happening, and maybe I just ought to forget this and go over this other place. Implying that when you get to that other place, problem-free, out of the will of God, and that's the place to be. Does this become exceedingly obvious when we talk about it like this, what's going on? What is the end game when you're having thoughts that I want to go somewhere else? The end game is to get you out of the will of God. The devil's not going to paint a picture of what's going to happen when you're out of the will of God. He's not going to tell you all the things that will happen that he's got planned when you start listening to him. He's just going to tell you your problem is God. Your problem is that he told you to be here and he's not faithful. That's what he comes back to over and over, because that's the nature of the devil. He hates God. He's trying to get you to hate God too. This is what he does. He's a liar. I said he's a liar. The best place you could be is right where God told you to be. Right in the middle of it. That's the safest place for you to be. That's the best place for your children to be. That's the best, that's the place where all the provision is right where he told you to be. In the middle of it. Just like Elijah needed to follow God, and when he did, the ravens met him there. Now look on your, or look in your word in the Bible, or on your sheet if you're following along in the sheet. Verse 7, it says, "And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So now notice this. God told him, "You go to the brook, Cherith, and I'll provide for you there. The ravens are going to provide for you." And they did, right? And then the brook dried up. And God said, "Now I want you to go over here." Just because God has led you somewhere and supernaturally provided for you in one place does not mean that is the place you're supposed to set up camp forever. We have to be open to him moving us on. And this happens to people. They know that they heard from God. They know that God supernaturally met them. But when God tells them to go on, they say, "But God met me here. I know this was from God." And they won't go to the next step. They won't go when God tells them to do something else. We like to be comfortable. Do you like to be comfortable? There might be something that is challenging you, and God tells you to do it, and you obey him. But once you get comfortable in it, then you don't want, then he tells you to do something else. That thing that used to be uncomfortable for you, now you've gotten comfortable in it. Now he tells you something else that looks uncomfortable, and you have a choice. Now you have to leave what has become comfortable and go to the thing that now is uncomfortable. But God, I mean, you overcame your flesh, you overcame your pride, you overcame your insecurities, and you did what God told you to do. And now he says, "Now go over here." And you're like, but I mean, this was hard, but I did it. I came, I did this, I conquered, I'm here. I like it here. I'm going to stay here. And God says, "Go over here. Go over there now." What if we decide, see, the brook is dried up. What if we decide, "Nope, God met me here. I just believe he's going to continue to meet me here. I just believe the ravens are going to still come here. And our God already told me to go over there." You think the ravens are still going to come here? Do you know again how many people are doing this in their life? They set up shop right here. God moved them on 5 years ago and they said, "Nope, this is the way I want it." And stuff isn't going right. Stuff's broken. God is not providing for them. But they say, "Oh no, this is where I'm supposed to be." You can get to the place where you forgot what God told you. Because you've told yourself so much, "No, I'm going to be here." But we don't have to be like that. The way we ought to be is, God moved us on. Okay, now I'm supposed to go over here. And this widow is going to take care of me. Again, I don't have any assurance other than the word of God that that's going to happen. But that's what God said is going to happen, so I have a choice. Am I going to do that? Will I go over here? And if I go over here, the blessing and the provision of God are here. And then we have the chance and the choice to do this over and over and over in our life. This is called walking by faith. Look in the word here. Verse 10. So he said, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. He said, so he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. That's pretty morbid. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Another miracle. This does not happen normally. But God took care of Elijah in a different place. Elijah listened to the Lord and went after and followed him. Followed what he needed to do the next place. Praise God. The crux of it is that God has a plan for us, and if we'll just listen to Him, if we'll follow Him, it's going to be the best thing that we could possibly do. Look on your sheet there. Look at Psalm 32:8. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Look in the Living Bible. We've read this before. It says, I will instruct you, says the Lord, and guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch your progress. He said, I will instruct you and guide you along the best pathway for whose life? Our life. He didn't say, I'm going to show you the best pathway for somebody else's life. What we want so many times is, I want to do what this other person says. I want their path. And why can't I be called to such and such? Do you realize it is a joy to be called and to do whatever God told you to do? But it is still not easy, no matter who you're looking at. You might look at somebody and say, man, I wish I were called to do what they're doing. I mean, that looks great. That person has to walk in faith and walk through the challenges of life just like you do. And there are certain things that you think look easy, and if I were called to do that, I'd be able to do that so easily. But it is challenging where they're at. And if they took your place, maybe in the natural, you think... They think it would be easy, but if they walked it out where you're at, it would still be challenging. In other words, God is going, He's not going to let us off. We're going to walk by faith. It says in Hebrews, it is impossible, for without faith, it is impossible to please Him. He wants faith. He wants us to trust Him. And so when he tells us to do something, that is part of the best pathway. Now, it is never easy. I'm not saying we can overcome in any situation where he told us to go. We will have the victory, but it is not a cakewalk. Anybody tells you that you follow what God told you to do, it's just going to be a bed of roses, is either, you know, maybe not setting out to deceive, but they got some misunderstanding. As if the enemy, when you're following the exact thing you're supposed to do, is just going to lay down and say, man, they hit the nail on the head now. They're on the way. There's nothing I can do. If he sees somebody on the pathway that is doing exactly what God told him to do, Mark, chalk it up that he is going to do everything he can to try to bump you off that. Why? Because if he gets you off that, now you're on his territory. And that's what he tries to do. But no, there is a good pathway. Look at your sheet, 2 Corinthians 10:12. It says, "For we do not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." What that means is don't compare yourself against somebody else. Say, well, look at them. Or I should be so much further. Well, the only way you can gauge that is what God told you to do. You can't look at somebody else's starting block or finish line. You have to look at what God told you to do and run your race. And he's going to tell you to do things that are going to stretch you. Okay, granted, they might not stretch somebody else. You got to put blinders on and not look at that. You might look and say, well, I can do what that person can do, and you're further than them. You cannot worry about that. You have to put blinders on and say, Lord, where is it, and what is it you want me doing? And believe me, that's going to stretch your faith, but that's where you're supposed to be, and that's what we're supposed to walk out. And if we just trust him and believe that if I'll do that, if I'll walk after him, it will be good. It will be good. We willing to do what he told us to do. Willing to take the steps and do what he told us to do. Willing to step out and say, God, this is what you're telling me to do. I'm going to do it. I trust you. I believe you. I'm going to follow after you and be sensitive to what he is. If he's given us peace in a certain direction, then we say, okay, Lord, I don't see everything. I don't see everything out in front of me, but I believe that this is where you're calling me. Look at Proverbs 3. Just wrapping up here, I wanted to hit some of these points as we close. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths." See, a lot of us in this room have heard that. We can quote it. But see, this is when we know what the Lord's telling us to do. We know the pathway that he's telling us to walk on. That's when we have to say, Lord, because you'll never know all the steps that are coming. We want to, don't we? We want to know. I was just talking to somebody the other night. We want to know. We want a floodlight out in front of us and to see everything and say, oh, okay, I can see how the Red Sea is going to part. I got this. I walk right up to it. Then I'm going to be beaten. You know, chariots are going to be coming down and back of me. There's going to be, you know, water on one side, two rocks on two sides, and the enemy is going to be behind me. But I know when I go out there and I put my staff out of the water, it's going to split. I'm going to go across the water. They're stupid enough to follow me. It's going to close in, and they're going to all die. I got this. I know exactly what's going to happen. All right. Got it, Lord. Let's go. Not what happened. It's not what happened. You get out of Egypt, and they're thinking, woo, gold. We got everybody. We're going. We're out of here. And then what's that sound? Thunder. It sounds like thunder coming down. It's all them. They're coming after us. What? What? I thought he wasn't going to follow us. What's this? I mean, we got out. Pharaoh said, forget it. Get them out of here. They gave us all their gold and money. Thought that was it. Why are they following us? Moses, what are you doing getting us out? We were great back there. Start complaining. Their backs are against the wall. God tells Moses what to do. He does it. We get to the other side. We will not know all those steps. And you may know and you may hear from God and you say, God, I'm going to obey you. That's what I'm going to do. Even if you shut down your understanding, your limited understanding, you ignore that, you look to your heart, it's still going to be tested, because as you walk it out, there's going to be times you're like, what? I thought, God, I believed you. I stepped out. Now this, what's going on? And we're either going to have to say, God, you told me to be here. That's when all these other things we've talked about, Lord, I heard from you. I heard from your word. I heard from your spirit. I followed peace. I did what I knew to do. I prayed about it. I'm here. And you're still going to be challenged. Your faith's going to be challenged to say, this is good. God is good. I'm in there. I'm in the right place at the right time. God, split it. Show me. Help me. And I'm not going to look back. I'm going to go forward. I'm not going to say, oh, I wish I was back. I'm going to say, no, this is where I'm supposed to be. God's going to come through. Here he comes. Lord, I believe you. That's faith. That's faith. That is leaning not on your own understanding. That is looking to him when you don't know. This is called the life of faith. It may feel like you're being stretched apart, like you just can't take anymore. That's the time to say, God, I'm where I'm supposed to be. Therefore, you're with me. This is the place of provision. I'm not moving. I'm not flinching. Everything's telling me, get out of here. Go this way. Go that way. But I know this is where I'm supposed to be. So I am just girding up. I'm strengthening my stance. Let's go. Hallelujah.